Dr. Richard Holm is creator and host of On Call with the Prairie Doc. You can see it tonight on SDPB TV, 7 p.m. Central, 6 Mountain. He joins us on In the Moment every Thursday. Dr. Holm, Dr. Richard Holm, welcome back.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
Tried to say all your names at once there. Didn't work out.
Well, congratulations on a year of fine programming. You know, a real challenge, I would think, to every day have, you know, so much content. And wow, you've just done great. It's been a great year for you.
Thank you very much. It has been. And thanks to all the producers and the team at SDPB for that as well.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about today? We're talking about screenings, health screenings, right?
Screening for colon cancer, for breast cancer, for lung cancer, for any kind of cancer. That's a lot of what people go to their doctor for. You know, I'm a healthy person. I have no symptoms whatsoever. And what should I do to screen for illnesses to protect me? You know, what can I do preventatively? You know, that's what people ask about screening. That's different than if a person comes in and they have blood in their stool, or if they have a cough that won't go away, or there's a lump in their breast. Then you've got a diagnostic test. That's not a screening test. So there's a lot to be said about screening. I know people have a lot of questions. You have any questions?
Right. Yeah, because it gets confusing to me because there's so many different, advice that you see out there. And sometimes those recommendations change and not everybody in the medical world agrees. So how do you keep updated so that you know the smart questions to ask your doctor about whether you should change your screening time?
That's a good question. And how does the doctor keep updated? Because they're changing right in front of her or him, too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's a thing. You need to be on top of things. You need to continue to be studying and reading when you're a physician. If you're a person who comes in and asks your doctor and the doctor's not sure, then, you know, throws a question mark about whether that's the right doctor. Of course, there's a lot of things that we're not sure about still. For example, the PSA, you know, that's one screening test that there's a lot of disagreement on. And people have different opinions on that. My personal opinion is I was on an airplane and a fellow that I knew from Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, who was a researcher, was sitting next to me, and we both recognized each other after a while. It took a while to do that. And he had finding out about what his life had been all about, he'd been involved in the original work on PSA. And I said, there's some controversy there. What's your PSA? And he says, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't think it's a good enough test.
Oh, and this is prostate cancer, right? Screening for folks who don't know that, right?
Specific antigen, PSA, and it's a prostate screening test. A lot of doctors are doing it. I do a PSA on people when they're having symptoms or when there's an abnormality on the rectal exam that I still recommend on a yearly basis, although there's some people who disagree with that, but I don't. Mm. I think that's a good test.
For what age, men?
Certainly at 50. 50. One can wonder about 40. If anybody has any prostate symptoms, they get a rectal exam, and I think that's an important thing to do. But the PSA is another thing. Screening in people, when should you do a PSA? And you know what? Elevated PSA can occur in people who don't have prostate cancer. You can have a normal PSA in a person who does have prostate cancer. A lot of people have been moved to having prostate surgery or radiation or treatment for prostate cancer that's never going to hurt them, it's a relatively benign disease in many cases, although in not all cases. Sometimes it's a very mean disease. So we're left not having good advice. I mean, it's a hard deal there. What I generally recommend is yearly rectal exam for several reasons. One, to check the prostate. Two, to check the stool for blood and something around the colon. And I think it's an important test. But there's some debate about whether that's worth doing. Mm. There's so I could go on and on. I'm generally saying to people, in as a rule, if you're symptom free, I'm not testing for PSAs, but some are, and you have to know that.
Who should get screened for lung cancer? I'm curious about that one. Who are the people who need to get screened for that?
People who smoke a pack a day for 30 days or 30 years or two packs a day for 15 years. You know, that's a 30-pack year history or more. The recommendation now by the most conservative screening recommendation group is a low-dose CT every year after 65. Mm. And I think they've been finding, in that case, that you can catch cancers early. And for, it's for breast lung cancer.
Yeah. And for lung cancer, that makes the same kind of difference as for what we're seeing with breast cancer, if you catch it early or not?
Well, yes, although there are a lot of people who get lumps and breast biopsies that don't need it, or it's low-grade disease. And so, you know, there it's an expensive consequence, but you can catch cancer early in that case, and so why not? But the reason not to is that you end up with too many people who get breast biopsies that don't have breast cancer or have a low-grade cancer that isn't going to cause them harm. So sure. There's a balance of things. I think as a rule, most everybody recommends certainly every year after 50 or every 2 years after series of them are normal until you reach a certain age or reach a certain level of weakness. But there are some groups are recommending 40 years and older. So the 40 to 49-year-old is a question. And what people are recommending is that you read about it and then you make a decision for yourself, particularly look at your family history.
Sure.
And there's even people who do not recommend doing self-breast exams anymore.
Right.
I disagree with that. I think that, you know, that every time you take a shower or once a month anyway, the first Sunday of every month, you should kind of, in the shower, examine yourself carefully. And any bumps or lumps or skin lesions that are abnormal, you should always ask the doctor about that.
Yeah. So what about what we hear about, like, heart screenings, heart disease screenings, and some of these places where you can, you know, give, you know, $50 out of your pocket and really go through an extensive heart screening? Do those have value? Are they good screening tests?
Not great. These are companies that have... they'll come through churches, they'll come through communities, they'll do a low cost ultrasound that runs into the $150 range, and they will do carotid ultrasounds in people who haven't any symptoms. I think that's not a good idea. They'll do examinations of the legs in people who don't have symptoms. That's not a good idea. They'll do ultrasounds of the abdominal aorta. And that's the one redeeming quality that they have. It's a cheap. So if you've been a smoker in your life, and particularly if you're a male, you should have one of those at 60 or of the abdominal aorta, because people get aortic aneurysms, particularly smokers. I certainly would support those screening tests in that regard. If you're having symptoms, though, okay, then it's probably a good idea to have carotid ultrasounds and examinations for legs, artery insufficiency, and so on and so forth. But those are symptom-driven, and then you want to go to the doctor and have her or him direct you to a very careful and well-done test that you can trust.
Right. Colon cancer screening recommendations, have they changed, or is it still 50? You need to start getting your first colonoscopy.
If there is a lot of colon cancer in your family or significant cancer in your family, I certainly would consider doing it earlier, but certainly at 50. And if the test is normal, you know, and there's no polyps or anything abnormal, then every 10 years until you're 80, perhaps. On the other hand, if there are findings then it's every 5 or even less, depending upon what they find. So I think there's no question about colonoscopies. That is a wonderful test. It, you know, when you find, you do the colonoscopy as a screen, and they find something, they can do something about it, too, at the same time. Right. So, you know, doing the special X-ray test of the colon, which is not nearly as good as a good colonoscopy, then you find something, then you need the colonoscopy to do something about it. Colonoscopy, it's a screening test, and then finding something, then you can, at that same time, get it resolved. So I think the probably one of our best tests for screening really is that colonoscopy, starting at 50, unless there's a real strong family history of colon cancer.
Cervical cancer screenings have changed too, especially for younger women, right? And older women, and a lot has changed in that area.
You know, and I don't, I'm not going to speak to what is the now standing recommendation. But I would make this preventive recommendation, and that is the HPV viral vaccination that prevents the papillomavirus, the wart virus, to be spread or to be caught, and it prevents the cervical cancer. So there's the reason to do that.
Right, girls and boys, or just girls?
Girls and boys.
Girls and boys, get that one.
Before they have sex. Well, some people say, well, if they have that test, then they'll start having sex. And the answer is no, no. It won't drive anybody to have sex. They're going to have sex. People are driven. The human being is such that they were made to want to do this, and that's what happened. So,
right. How young, though?
Don't get me wrong.
But
I'm just thinking about the public health, and, you know, you just recommend that vaccination, that papillomavirus vaccination. It's a really good thing for your children, and do it when they're, like, 12.
12, you know? Okay. So, yeah, you're really thinking about that before you're thinking about your child having sex, probably, and it's out of the way in their regular vaccination cycle.
That's right. And have our kids gotten it? Yes. Are we happy about that? Very happy.
Adults? So,
then it's another story, and I talked to your
physician. Talk to your physician about your personal circumstances. Dr. Holm, thank you so much for being here with us. Always a pleasure.
And you know, if we have the two oncologists that are going to make it from Sioux Falls tonight, it'll be great. Maybe one of them or two of them will be on the Skype, but I will definitely have a guest tonight from Brookings if the Sioux Falls doctors can't make it. So we'll have a show tonight. It'll be live. It's going to be fun, very interesting, and I hope everybody can check in.
On Call with the Prairie Doc tonight, SDPB TV, 7 p.m. Central, 6 Mountain.